Our scripture meditation this morning comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, you'll find on page 984 in the Bibles that are provided for you. 984, it's also printed there at the bottom of your bulletin. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. We're going to go home after this service, and many of you are going to go to enjoy a meal involving turkey. Not all of you, but probably maybe all of you, most of you. In turkey cooking, there are a couple of ways to gauge whether your turkey cooking is successful, and I only know this from looking at it secondhand and watching others. But first, there's the method of cooking that turkey. Some people baste it and bake it or roast it so long uncovered, so long covered or whatever. So there's that. And if you do that, then you should turn out with a fine bird. There's also the kind of subjective measure of success that you see in whether people are enjoying the turkey, right? If your guests clean off the platter, if they're gnawing on the bones, then you know that you have succeeded from the measure of the results. Many things in life you can judge by those two questions. You know, am I doing it right? So there's that the method. And then there's the question of what are the results? Are there good results? The Christian life also you can evaluate by those two sorts of questions. One, the method. Am I doing it right? Am I doing those things to grow that God says I should do? And then also, are there good results? And our passage this morning especially puts its finger on thankfulness as a good result. So Colossians 2, 6 and 7, this is God's word. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So that's our passage for this morning. Just a little bit about the background of this passage. The Colossians were people who were challenged in various ways spiritually. We all are. But the Colossians had perhaps a high propensity to or a high exposure to strange ideas, offbeat theologies, incorrect philosophies. If you can imagine a perpetual student who's not too discerning about the classes he takes and is not too discerning about the ideas that he stuffs into his head, that's kind of like the Colossians. They like to dabble. And so they were exposed to lots of things, and they potentially were opening the doors to many different kinds of errors. They needed to be set straight. And so here God, through the Apostle Paul, gives them in these verses a kind of simple formula, the sort of simple formula for a healthy Christian life, helpful to them, needful for us, too. This passage says something about the right method of Christian life. How do we pursue this life in Christ? What do we do? And then it says something about the right result or the right outcome. Looking at the passage, the method of Christian living is, you see it there, to be rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith, just as you were taught. Just as you were taught. Think about what you were taught. You have been taught that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior for sinners, right? You have been taught that He died on the cross for our sins. You've been taught that He rose from the dead, that He's ascended to heaven, and that He's coming again. So, in those basics you have been taught, root your life in those. Sink the roots of your life down deep into those truths, down into that Savior, I should say, so that you see yourself as a forgiven sinner, one who is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. See that as your primary identity. So that is being rooted in Christ. And then, our passage says, build on that foundation. Build on it. You see all kinds of building going on around here. Lots of houses being knocked down and new ones put in their place. Now think what you will of that phenomenon. you'll notice that as these builders get to work, they always lay a foundation, but they never stop there. Down goes the foundation, up goes the walls, on goes the roof. So the project proceeds. And your Christian life is to be like that too. You've rooted yourself in Christ. You've found yourself in Him. You understand your identity to be a sinner saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Build on that. Seek to get to know who Jesus Christ is by giving attention to the Scriptures, by ordering your life and your choices and your priorities consistent with that Savior, so that somebody looking at your life, as they see your priorities, as they see your family, as they see your church service, etc., they could say, ah, now here's a person who's building on Christ. You can see that Jesus is at the center of this person's life. So all that on the method of Christian living, rooted in Christ, building on Christ. But what I really want to focus on for our meditation this morning is the result, because here's where we get to the thanksgiving part. The result of walking with Christ here is at the end of verse 7, and the result is that we abound in thanksgiving. We abound in thanksgiving. Gratitude shows our rootedness in Christ. Gratitude shows our rootedness in Christ. When you're thankful, it shows that what Jesus has done for you and in you is starting to have an effect. It's starting to bear fruit. You are starting to become who God made you to be when you start becoming grateful. When you start becoming grateful because God made us. He made us to enjoy His goodness and to give Him thanks. To enjoy His goodness and to give Him thanks. You see this actually encapsulated or captured in Westminster Confession, question and answer one, right? Q&A one. Always going back to this. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God. So giving Him thanks, giving Him the glory, the praise, and to enjoy Him forever. So to take what He has given us and to enjoy it, to use it, and then to return Him thanks, or glorifying Him and enjoying Him. And when that's going on, when that cycle of gratitude is going on, then you know you are being who God made you to be. You are, we could say, when you're like that, you are most human. You are being most like God created mankind to be. Speaking of who people are, long ago, Greek philosophers were debating the question of who is man? Who is man? And Plato and his school came up with a fine materialistic definition of mankind. They defined man as a featherless biped. Now, a biped is a creature walking on two legs. And so they said man is a featherless biped. I guess that was the best they could do. There was a cynic philosopher named Diogenes who, in one version of the story, walked by the school of Plato and threw a plucked chicken over the wall, as if to say, behold your man, a featherless biped. And so, we know, I think even instinctively, that featherless biped does not capture the essence of humanity, right? Most of you have a featherless biped cooking in the oven at this moment, and, it's a bird. Later on in the 19th century, there was a Russian novelist named Dostoevsky who played with Plato's definition. He wrote a novel in which he was exploring people's natural selfishness, and a character in that novel made the remark that man is an ungrateful biped. An ungrateful biped. That's what Dostoevsky said. And you can see that that's kind of like the dark side of what Paul is saying. God tells us through Paul that people rooted in Christ abound in thanksgiving. We abound in thanksgiving when we're rooted in Christ, but people who are stuck on themselves are living a self-referential life that is, well, it's not God-glorifying, certainly, but it's also oftentimes very sour. Imagine a plant all of whose roots emerge and come out of the ground and attach themselves onto the trunk of that plant. So the plant is, as it were, a circular plant. It's trying to draw energy from itself. If you can imagine something like that. Something feeding on its own strength instead of rooting in something greater and more solid than itself. That's like the self-centered life. And in the self-centered life, there can be no thanksgiving in it. Or that might be too strong. There can be no logical and consistent thanksgiving in it. In the self-centered life. Because the self-centered life is not being nourished from elsewhere. Think about it. If you are the master of your own fate and the captain of your own soul, if you are the provider of your needs, if you are the one through whose strength you are living, what is there to give thanks for? I guess you can give thanks to yourself for being so strong, right? Because everything you enjoy in that way of thinking about things, everything you enjoy comes from you, and you want more, and you want to have more. See, a person who is self-focused is always hungry and never satisfied because God didn't make us to feed on ourselves. God made us to root in Him and draw our nourishment and strength from Him. But self-centeredness makes a person grow sour and ungrateful and even potentially brutal. So much for the negative side. When you sink your roots into Christ, you become, we could call it a grateful biped, or to do away with that terminology, a better analogy we find in Psalm 1, right? Blessed is the man who walks in the ways of the Lord. He shall be like a tree, do you remember what it says? Firmly planted by streams of water, which bears its fruit in its season. So it's planted and rooted in something nourishing and bigger than itself. That is like you when you're in Christ. You're depending on Him. You're rooted in Him. It's something vastly greater and stronger and better than you. Something that steadies you and feeds you. Just think about it. If Jesus loves you and He has saved you and He goes with you at every step of the way, He gives your life meaning. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's coming again for you. He's going to take you to be with Him and be glorious with Him forever. In spite of your undeserving, He's done all that for you. How could you not be grateful? You see how the gospel produces gratitude. When you sink your roots into Christ, the fruit of gratitude grows. And you can root your life in that. You can build on that. And what you build on Christ, you have confidence, as Jesus said, when the storm comes, you're built on the rock. Who you are and what you have confidence in will not be washed away. And that makes us grateful. So I guess maybe the question for us is, how can we preserve gratitude? Or maybe a better way to put it is, how can we become more grateful? Because you can't gin up gratitude just by, you know, snapping your fingers. Like, I think I'll become more grateful. It's a response, right? It's not a primary thing. It's a response to something else. The fact is that our gratitude is kind of like the stock market. You know, it goes up and down. It's stronger sometimes and weaker than others. To the extent that we take our eyes off of Christ, to the extent we are living a self-referential life, to the extent that our roots are, as it were, attaching onto ourselves, we are less ultimately joyful and less grateful. This can happen even when we are technically doing all the things that ought to root us in Christ. So you're reading your Bible, you're coming to church. Even then, doing those things that ought to root you in Christ, you can still lose your joy and lose your gratitude. And this is a phenomenon that we all experience. Just like a worker out building a house, he could do technically a good job, but perhaps his heart is not in it, or perhaps he doesn't really enjoy what he's doing. And the Christian life can become like that, too. Sometimes we lose our gratitude because our method of rooting ourselves in Christ has become just that. It's just a method. Our heart has to be in it. And how do you get your heart into it? How do you re-engage with how great Christ is so that that really captures your affections and it begins to bear the fruit of gratitude? Well, I know of no shortcut for reigniting gratitude. I think the way to do it is to get down on your knees and pray to God. Pray, ask God to re-engage your heart. If your heart is dead toward Him, or if you feel like you don't have the proper fruit of gratitude, or being thankful doesn't come naturally, ask God to show you once again what is so great about Jesus Christ. Ask Him to help you rejoice in Jesus Christ, to truly, in every sense, sink your roots down into Him so that you'll enjoy who He is and bear that fruit of gratitude. Because that kind of heart engagement with Jesus Christ will grow gratitude in you. Will God answer that prayer request? I could hardly think of any prayer request that God would be happier to answer. So ask Him. Ask Him to make you a grateful person so that with your heart you are engaged with what Jesus has done for you. So that you affirm the doctrines, but you also trust in the Savior described by those doctrines and are glad in who He is for you. Just let me tell you one little story as we close. Most of you know this story, I think. The man who was most responsible for founding our denomination was named J. Gresham Machen. And he, well, at the end of his life ended, I could put it that way, because he caught pneumonia as he was preaching to church somewhere in north of South Dakota in the wintertime. He got sick and he was dying. And he had probably a day or so before the end of his life, he sent a telegram. I guess that was kind of the email of the time. A telegram to a colleague of his at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia that said, it said this: I'm so thankful for the active obedience of Christ. No hope without it. No hope without it. And hearing that story in the past, I've kind of thought, well, that sounds like a theologian's last words, you know. But you know what? Wow. That is a spiritual man's last words. Because at the end of his life, he realized that really, really, he had nothing in his hands to offer to the Lord. Like, here is my unblemished and unspoiled good works. He couldn't come to God like that. He said, I'm going to come to God here at the end of my life with my confidence in the active obedience of Jesus, with confidence in what Jesus has done for me. And so resting in that, he said there, as he was dying, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Doesn't that capture it? Doesn't that capture what this passage is aiming at and what we aim at as Christians, to live and even to die gratefully, to so sink our roots into Christ and to so depend on Him that we bear that fruit of gratitude? So with that in mind, I'll just say that Thanksgiving is a great holiday. Thanksgiving is a great holiday because it is this call and this reminder to once again root our lives in Jesus Christ and to cultivate and nurture this fruit of thanksgiving, which is so honoring to God, to remember how good He's been and all the provisions that our Savior has made for us, and so give God the praise He deserves. So that's the encouragement from God's word this morning. Let's pray now and ask that the Lord would bless His word to our hearts. Our dear Father, we thank You for all the goodness that You've shown to us through Christ our Savior. And we rejoice to be rooted in Him and built up in Him, just as we were taught. Father, as we learn to internalize and really take our comfort in the goodness and greatness of Jesus Christ, would You help us also more and more to respond with gratitude? So bless us as we remember Your goodness today and cause our gratitude to be a natural and growing expression of our rootedness in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.